Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit of beatboxing there for you. My name's Marcus and Jim's with me.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
Pete's not, though.
No Pete.
No.
No
Pete. He's gone to Tokyo.
Has he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's caused havoc.
I want to go to...
Like a Geordie Godzilla.
He's not a Geordie.
No.
Yeah, well.
I'd like to go to Japan on one of Pete's sexy adventures.
Yeah. None of us are invited, though, are we?
No, never are.
I saw a Vine tweet of his today... which just said King of Tokyo, and it was him riding a sort of massive cuddly toy animal around a shop. Mm-hmm. Really so slowly.
Does this mean he's riding the King of Tokyo, or he has been crowned the King of Tokyo?
I think the second
hard
one.
Hard to tell, isn't it?
I think the second one, yeah.
It's very hard to tell. But despite that, we're going to carry on with the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. So do bear with us. Without Pete Donaldson. Now, in the spate of a week, we've seen lots of celebrations in Madrid.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have, yeah, correct, sorry. Yeah. And they've been going on by the famous statues in the Plaza de Cibeles, I think that's pronounced, with the Neptune statue and then the one of old Queenie. Yeah. If you could celebrate a major trophy win by a famous landmark, you know, statue or some kind of building that we all know and love, maybe not love, where would it be, Jim?
I would celebrate Arsenal winning anything.
Yes.
In the Roman baths in Bath.
Nice.
I mean, like, I'm talking like... Last Days of Rome style celebrations, like it is going crazy.
Would you already be there? Or would you travel all the way?
Travel all the way there. March all the way there. Gunnosaurus leading the charge, obviously just firing t-shirts willy nilly out of his t-shirt cannon before the debauchery would set in. It'd be amazing.
That would be good.
That's brilliant. Because I've been to the baths in Bath.
Was it debauched?
Not when I was there.
No,
they cleaned their act up pretty quick when I turned up.
Marcus always maintains a certain level of decorum at these types of events,
and I think most of the nation knows that and respects it when they see him coming.
That's why you are the people's champion. I don't call you the voice of a generation for nothing, Mark.
Yeah.
At all, in fact.
It's good to know that my trip to Bath got the respect due. When I went to Vietnam, you weren't so generous. The praise, were you? But I love Bath. I think it's one of the most glorious places I've probably ever been, and that's a great answer and a good start to the show. Luke, what have you got?
I've got a couple of sort of options.
Yes, as you often do.
Yeah.
Which is cheating, isn't
it? Yeah, it is a little bit, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
It's not cheating as long as he commits to one rather than dangles both.
But he doesn't, ever, because you don't rein him in enough.
Well, I was going to.
Yeah.
But I know.
Oi, no one's touching my babies.
Yeah. Well, honourable mention now. I'll give an honourable mention now. That's a ramble tradition.
Yeah, that's fair. But an honourable mention's not your answer.
No.
So you throw it away.
I will.
Right.
Honourable mention to the Spinnaker Tower, Portsmouth.
Yeah. Okay, I should have trusted you.
And it was between that and a very similar structure with the same sort of reputation and you know, more affiliation with football, Christ the Redeemer.
Oh, good.
Riot. Yeah, I'd probably go for that one, though. I remember seeing a guy do a base jump off Christ the Redeemer.
Mm.
Thought that was very good.
Mm.
Imagine if you could do like a base jump off that, but with the trophy that you'd won in one hand and the parachute chucked out from the other hand. Mm. It'd be pretty good.
Maybe that fill in the trophy with champagne on the way down.
That would be very calm.
Yeah.
I'll give that a go. Yeah, why not?
Well, I was going to go for the Christ the Redeemer statue as well, but I just love a picture of myself on the shoulders of the statue with the World Cup above my head.
That'd be good.
And would you climb it yourself? Like just with sheer determination.
Yeah.
Hang on, you can't have it if I've got it. You can have Spinnaker Tower if you want.
No, I can't have Spinnaker. No, but I can. I've put a better twist on the Christ the Redeemer one. Or my other option was I would carve out on an. I've never been to Rushmore, so I don't know what the landscape's like. Yeah. I'm going to assume that there's another mountain side
nearby
to be
space left.
Yeah, to have a bit of a carve up, and I would do that, and I would have the four stages of my face celebrating the... I mean, I'll go Champions League final. Yeah. He'd have the first one, you know, very, very firm, calm.
Focused.
Yeah. Second one, we're 2-0 down, looking a bit sad. Third one, hang on a minute, I've pulled it back to 2-1.
What is happening?
Bit of hope here. And then the fourth one,
what is this?
Jubilant.
Delusion, let him have it.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Wow, that is the most egotistical thing that's ever been said on this show.
Which is really fascinating.
And I'm glad it came from me, ladies and gentlemen.
God knows what Donaldson will think about that. When
and it's one with them. No, it hasn't. Jim's got the points.
Well done, Jim.
Because I love Bath. I love Bath. I've been to the...
I've played to the crowd there. I know you love
You
Bath,
really have. You really have. My goodness. We have to start with the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Nearly.
Yeah,
bloody nearly,
absolutely heartbreaking.
It really was. I mean, it was always going to be an incredible affair. The first
but it,
time,
it actually wasn't for a long time, was it? It was quite a dull match.
Yes,
until about maybe about an hour into it, and then it sort of livened up a little.
But the way it finished was explosive for so many reasons. Of course, I mean, the first thing I'd like to say is that well done to Real Madrid,
of course.
But
yeah.
But the second thing was. The fact that I looked at that game afterwards and I was thinking about it and I thought, had Atletico Madrid won that home game against Malaga the week before Barcelona, they would have won the league.
Yeah.
They could have rested players against Barcelona. Diego
Costa
would have had an extra 2 weeks instead of having to play against Barcelona. Turan wouldn't have got injured. Okay, chaos theory comes into it, but you know, the game, it would have been a vastly different game.
Yeah.
You could have effectively rested against Barcelona and had that extra 2 weeks. But you had that game where two of your key men got injured or more injured.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into Madrid and they were trying to crawl over the line. And they were 2.5 minutes away from doing so. Mm. Madrid looked so much more pumped up and energetic as the game went on.
What did you think of the Diego Costa thing?
Well, as soon as I saw his name on the team sheet, I thought that's a mistake.
Yeah. Mm. It almost looks like Simeone's let his heart rule his head in that one.
Yes.
Which is kind of uncharacteristic of how he's managed this team so well.
Mm.
And it's such a shame. I mean, he just didn't even look like he could run, could he? He was so patently unfit.
Yeah.
Why do you think he did it then?
It's a strange one, isn't it?
There seemed to be suggestions on the television that Souness said, for example, that he thought he could get half an hour out of him. But for me, it's almost like
do it at the other
if
end.
Your hamstring's gone, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, exactly. A hamstring injury.
You don't pump it up
know,
and let it run for half an hour and then it goes again. It's gone. Yeah.
There's no painkilling injection there.
No.
A hamstring injury, you're out.
Hmm.
It's as simple as that. Maybe Jim's touched on something there about Simeone. We certainly saw at the end that actually he is a more heart and sleeve type.
Yeah,
we'll come on to that. But he is a more heart and sleeve type of man, and
it's players that it's weird you say that though, because on one level he is that, but on the other level he gets his players to perform roles so sort of so accurately and so sort of selflessly that you wonder, it just seems completely out of character.
But he's obviously very disciplined, in the same Jose Mourinho is. Mourinho's a heart and a sleeve type of guy.
Look
at the discipline that he can conduct at a football club at times. So I mean, that was a real shame seeing Costa come off so early on. But but Real Madrid, I mean, their obsession with La Decima that just kept them going and going and going.
They couldn't lose it. And I mean,
and it would have been a shame.
We're all disappointed to see Atletico lose, because you know we just love the underdog in England, and also they've been so brilliant this season.
Yeah.
And just the rivalry between them and whatever. But it is difficult not to be happy for a lot of those Madrid players,
especially Casillas.
Yeah, and because Ramos as well. Another one. Yeah, been an absolute warrior for them for so long.
Casillas did his best to throw it away.
God, quite literally.
That's about to say.
That was so uncharacteristic.
I mean, that would have been horrible, wouldn't it? In for a man who's... I still don't understand the whole...
Real Madrid's cup keeper.
Yeah, I don't think he is uncharacteristic. I've often thought he's dodgy. Not dodgy, but if there was a weakness in his game, it would be commanding his area.
Mm.
And
no, uncharacteristic of a big side to play keeper in cup and so vehemently. I mean, because you say Arsenal maybe do it in the FA Cup.
But for that Atletico Madrid game, he's a goal. He's got to start home there.
Yeah, of course,
He's made a decision far too late. Mm. And he's also done the thing where they often say about goalkeepers, if you make a decision to go, you've got to go. You can't go back again.
And he hesitated when he should have come out to punch it.
Mm.
And it's almost two mistakes in one.
I don't know why with goalkeepers, I know it's easier said than done. You've got a lot of players there, and Godin's obviously great at attacking the ball, and we've seen him do that before. He's quite commanding in both boxes, actually, Godin. He's good. I've got a feeling he might come and back to haunt England in the World Cup. Yeah.
But one of many.
Yeah, it could be him. Put him on the long list. Yeah.
The long list is just three squadrons.
Yeah, it's every single player from Italy, Uruguay and Costa Rica. I often think with goalkeepers, I wonder if it should be a case of, I think if it were me, I would say to my goalkeeper, command your 6 yard area, command your 6 yard box, and then really outside of that, at a basic level, the defender can mark and all that sort of stuff. And if you are going to make a decision to come out, you've got to do it quick. I'll tell you, he's very good at it. Lloris is very good at
it.
Yes, he is. Probably the world's best at it, I would say. And I thought Casillas, I mean, I've certainly read in the past, because Casillas has been around ever since, you know, Gold was a boy. You see him play a lot, and he's very vastly experienced, but I've read people much more learned than me in the past say if he's got a weakness in his game, it's that. He's obviously it doesn't help that he's been in and out of the team with Diego Lopez and stuff coming in. So at that point, I thought, well, Atletico Madrid are going to see this out. They're going to close this out. But the problem was they were playing the time thing very, very obviously.
Yeah, they were.
And so with the Simeone thing at the end where he completely lost it, obviously can't condone that. It was silly. It was really classless, I thought.
Yeah.
And he let himself down there actually after the season he's had. Mm. But it was their own fault. I think he seemed to be complaining about the 5 minutes injury time at the end of normal time.
He was, yeah.
Which seemed perfectly fair to me, if not a little bit lenient. Yeah.
But actually, the fact of the matter is he scored after 92 and a half minutes, if we're going to be precise.
Yeah.
So it was within 3 minutes.
You're never going to get less than 3 minutes.
You're never
going to
get less than 3 minutes. Yeah.
And also, I mean, part of Atleti's game plan was clearly kick Madrid players a lot. I think there were three Atletico Madrid players who were booked for kicking Di Maria alone.
Yeah, he had a great game.
He was man of the match.
Incredible. Yeah. It's really interesting that they put that much attention on him, because clearly he's a bit of an unsung hero in a team full of so many massive superstars.
Well, to be honest, sorry, Jim.
Obviously, I'm not saying that Di Maria is like some sort of nobody player that no one's ever heard of, but you know, when you look at those team sheets, you wouldn't think of him as being the one that they're going to particularly target.
Well, Modric, Marcelo, and Di Maria. And Isco as well, I thought were fantastic for Real Madrid, kept them going on. Bale and Ronaldo were a little bit quieter, but obviously it came up with a good...
Bale's header was magnificent. He had so much to do there.
I think really it was one of those games with Bale especially where Atletico Madrid play in such a way that they make it very difficult and they're energetic, they're full of running, they close things down. And I thought, especially getting those banks of players in the way, and Bale didn't have that much space to run to. But what happened was...
He nearly did though, didn't
he? Yeah, well, I'm going to go on to say that towards the end of the game, as the game wore on and Atletico got very tired, and obviously it's the end of a long season for them, they had players out anyway, that Bale started to get a lot more joy. And actually, on another day, he could have had a few. He had a few chances towards the end. Yeah. I was pleased he got his goal, actually, because he seemed to fluff his lines more than once.
Yeah, he had a chance in the first half as well.
Yeah, he did.
The only real chance of that half that I can remember. What is amazing to me about Gareth Bale, I'm really happy for him as well, is that in the crazy world of Real Madrid, you know, La Decima is the most important thing in their universe, and they would happily have paid 86 million euros, or whatever it was in euros, to achieve that. So in a season, Bale's justified his price tag. He's been worth the money. They'd easily have paid that to win it. And, you know, he scored the winner in the Copa del Rey as well. It's amazing for him.
It is quite remarkable, really. I mean, I think... you know, the right team won on the day.
Well, Atletico, they just didn't have the legs for they extra didn't, time.
Which is
clearly
why
their game plan was win it in normal time.
Which is why I go back to that game against Malaga at home. If you'd given them a little bit more of a rest, those players were shot to pieces. We thought, actually, didn't we, about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe we thought, will they be able to sustain this?
I didn't think they'd sustain the league campaign.
No, but they did.
But they faltered.
I mean, everybody dropped points. Those three games in which the top three had three game winless runs was incredible. Nobody could see that coming. And everybody tired. Yeah. All those teams tired. But like I say, Madrid had that extra week to take it. I mean, actually, they had an extra couple of weeks because Ancelotti pretty much threw the towel in the league against Celta Vigo. I think they were away when they got beat on that weekend. And he thought, right, league's gone, we're concentrating on this. And he had 2 or 3 weeks to prepare, whereas Simeone had 1 week. Mm. And I think that really, really did show,
actually. You can see how the game played out by just thinking about the facts. When the dust has settled, I mean, Real Madrid, Atletico had 7 bookings or something.
Yep.
They made twice as many tackles.
Yep. Yeah.
They made 50% more fouls. It was obviously the tune was going to be called by Real Madrid, but Atletico Madrid knew that they can beat Real Madrid. They knew that they had it in their locker to do it. Just, I don't think it really... I thought the Costa decision was a poor one. Yeah. Although initially it looked like it was a good one because then obviously Atletico went ahead. I thought if it wasn't for Godin making an amazing tackle at one point, last ditch, really reacted quickly, they would have gone behind anyway. And then they really lost their discipline towards it. That penalty was needless.
Yeah.
And they just got carved apart over and over again, and they lost their head. And really, it's a shame because in 5 years' time, people are going to look back at that game and go, well, 4-1. You know,
yeah.
And it shouldn't have been 4-1.
No, it should never have been 4-1. I mean, yeah, 3-1. Would have
that
been
Sergio Ramos header was amazing. Though,
it was class. It was
right in the corner.
Absolutely quality.
But it was almost their worst nightmares coming true, and them having to play through that. You know, that's where they lost their heads. I think just the pressure of it just was too much.
Yeah, I think with Real Madrid, man, I don't know what that club would have been like had they ever lost. I mean, Atleti can go away and think it's the only the second time they've ever been in the final.
Still won the league.
Unfortunately, that in the previous final
they were close to winning it then as well.
Yeah,
weren't
well, in
they?
The 70s, there was 1-1, I think.
As a replay, yeah.
And a replay, and then they got hammered 4-0 by Bayern, I think it was, and they could beat 4-1. Real Madrid, obviously, their last Champions League win was in 2002, so a little while ago for a club that size.
Yeah.
They won a few around that time, but previously, before they won it in 1998, they'd gone 32 years without winning. Yeah. You often forget that gap.
Well, you know, I mean, they won like the first, I think it was five in a row, was it, when there were far fewer teams?
Yeah, something like in the 50s.
They're to blame for this pressure, for putting on the pressure of, like, you should win it every couple of years.
That's what
no other club does that.
That's what being a big club is, though, isn't it? Being a big club is, they don't do it, but they expect to do it.
I don't think any other big club does that, though, do they?
But I would say there's a handful of teams in Europe who every single year would realistically be expecting to win.
Like you can aspire to it, but you can't demand it.
Oh, it's a monkey off their back, no question. They've piled the pressure on themselves. They in many ways, they call the narrative. You're right. They say, oh, they're decimated. They're the ones who bring it up all the time. And so, yeah, it's a huge monkey off their back.
Yeah.
But obviously, at the inception of the European Cup, they were dominant, and there were a number of different reasons for that.
Yeah.
But they did go a long time without winning it. And you know, 2002 to 2014 doesn't seem that long compared to that.
No. I'd like to talk about Ronaldo's awful celebration.
Oh, God.
He does a really good line in making celebrations all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in fairness, I mean, in the interest of balance, he's clearly a number of things. He's clearly a really dedicated pro. Mm, he's a really good trainer.
Great at sit-ups.
He probably does sit-ups all day without any break, right?
Without even knowing. He's just on autopilot now.
Yeah.
There's apparently this boxer called Costa Zoo, who Ricky Hatton beat a while back in his pomp, who could do sit-ups non-stop for an hour and a half. Yeah. I reckon Ronaldo's near that sort of ball.
Yeah, he is.
It's fair to say that he's a very dedicated athlete, but the reason he gets the old hatred and a few haters here and there, which I'm sure he doesn't care about, is because he does a really good line in really vehemently celebrating his own goals almost on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, looking actually a little bit annoyed when other people have scored, even for his own team.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
But what he's clearly trying to do is make the iconic image of that Champions League final, him, to the point where he did that celebration a good 3 or 4 times.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it really annoyed me because Bale scores and it's massive jubilation and everyone piles in the corner and Marcelo scores again. And Ronaldo, he gets the fourth.
Yeah.
Lest we forget.
Yeah.
It gets the fourth. Now, okay, he scored 17 Champions League goals this season. He's got a reason to be a little
bit. Exactly why he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just him just going, me.
Yeah.
Me.
Cristiano, me.
What? Le Desi, what?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. I was like, you dick.
Yeah.
We want to like you.
Yeah.
You are one of the most talented sportsmen that's ever lived.
Yeah.
We want to love you. Like the way we love Messi.
Yeah.
And all the other greats. Well, most of the other greats.
Yeah.
And he makes it so bloody difficult.
Yeah.
He really does.
Again, he really will not care.
No, I can't.
I think it's important to stress how little you care about that. But I do take your point.
No, but he does care because he wants to be loved.
Well, we'll see.
He does. Not by me,
no.
But by us. And I'm talking on behalf of everybody.
Is he not returning your calls?
I was amazed he gave me his number in the first place.
Yeah, well, not as amazed as I was. Like, you say gave it, you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. What was he doing in that district in New York anyway? Yeah. Dear, oh dear. And then after that, in the aftermath of that celebration, Rafael Varane kicked the ball towards Diego Simeone, who didn't care for it. What I would say, to give Simeone an ounce of credit, wearing shoes, smacked it right back.
Oh, yeah, nearly took his head off.
But it was such a shame. It shouldn't have ended like that.
No.
After the wonderful season. A week ago, we were saying what a class act he was and how humble and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And there, his head just went. And even Big Burgos came on the pitch and was just like, come on.
I think he'll get a ban for that.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
I think he'll get
a ban. Is such a shame. Mm. Having said all that, Simeone was clapped in and out of the press conference, which Ancelotti didn't receive.
which be a bit annoying, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
I don't think Ancelotti was aware.
I'd be so happy for Ancelotti, actually.
Well, Ancelotti's a great guy really as well. Everybody says that. He's a top bloke.
He's won 5 European Cups.
Yep.
You know, he's 3 as a manager, 2 as a player, yeah. I mean, the man is... in many ways, I think he's criminally underrated.
Absolutely.
Well, no one really talks about him that
much. His sacking from Chelsea was criminal, as we and everyone said at the time.
I think people in hindsight have looked back and said, well, okay, he left a bit of an aging squad behind, it was a bit bloated and stuff, yeah. But he won the double.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he didn't do anything right.
Yeah, he becomes a second manager, along with Bob Paisley, to win 3 European Cups European Champions.
It's pretty exalted company. I mean, only 2 managers have ever done that.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
You know, that's crazy. Yeah. I think the old Rafael Varane thing was, I was worried for Varane.
Yeah.
Thought this guy's probably going to, this time next year, will probably be the best defender in the world. Yeah. Keep him away from Simeone, because he's going to fuck him up.
He'll take a kneecap in the night.
He's got the World Cup in a minute. Leave him alone. Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. Simeone was very... trying to stay upbeat, wasn't he? And I said to the players, the game today didn't deserve tears, because when you give your all, you have to hold your head high. Mm. I don't feel sadness, just bitterness that I didn't achieve objectives.
There's a beautiful honesty about that.
There is.
You know, not many people would admit to being bitter.
I've never seen someone look so terrified as Luka Modric's face when Simeone came on the pitch. He was beside himself with terror.
I know.
He'd be the first to go.
It was like
if
he was
Simeone
saying,
were truly to wage war, he would snap through him like a lolly stick.
Yeah, he would. And it was like Modric's face was like, I didn't know he could do that. If I'd known he could do that, I
don't think I'd have even
out.
Taken up this game.
Yeah. He's supposed to stay off the pitch. It's the only reason I'm here.
Technical area. Technical area.
In office.
It's like going to visit a zoo and there's no cages. No, that's not what I signed up for. No. I want to look at the animals, but I don't want them
to
come
near
me.
I don't want to be
their food. No.
Yeah. My goodness.
It's very very much like in Jurassic Park when the electric fences go out and dinosaurs take over.
Yeah.
What it was like. What isn't like that?
No, nothing. Well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Juan Fran. Well, I did like what Juan Fran said. He said
he was clearly injured as well. It's another shame.
Yeah. He said, we have to congratulate them. Yeah. Whoever wins it deserves it. We act the same whether we win or lose.
Yeah, he could barely move, to be fair, to Alex.
When he says we act the same whether we win or lose, there was no...
Maybe that was a bit of insight into what Simeone's like after the game in private.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see him in the centre of Madrid at 4 in the morning.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
Very different acting. Mm. An amazing game. And obviously, from a personal point of view, I wanted Atletico Madrid to win, but... You know, what a spectacle it was. And a week after Atleti take over the city of Madrid, it's been taken back.
By Real Madrid,
Real Madrid.
Exactly.
By Real Madrid.
I mean, it's going to be like that for a club like Atletico. They're always going to, I mean, realistically, they're always going to be in the shadow of Real Madrid. That's just the way it is. And they've got the Liga. Listen, at the start of the season...
Your objective is to win the league.
Yeah, big time.
Unless you're Real Madrid and go for your 10th.
Yeah.
But I think it's the first...
Do you think Ancelotti will keep his job?
No.
And not won the league?
I don't think he will keep his job. I don't think he will.
Do you not think?
I think Zidane will take the job. We'll see.
In due course.
I don't think he'll keep his job. I'm being serious.
Okay.
You mean like you don't think he'll be in charge of Real Madrid next season? Or
Ancelotti?
Do you mean in the long term?
Yeah. No, I don't think he'll be in charge next season, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But the playoff final happened, was the pre-runner, of course, was the warm-up to the Champions League, although I'm sure Derby and QPR didn't see it that way. A Bobby Zamora sucker punch right at the end, won it for the
They
hoops.
Should have had stripy jumpers on, not in hoops.
It's too late, but he could have been on the plane.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Stop
he loves
this.
A playoff final, old Bobby, I tell
it
you.
It does. Steve McLaren said it was the cruelest game ever.
It certainly was cruel.
Gary O'Neill was sent off, of course, with about half an hour to go. QPR were hanging on.
What's all this last man nonsense? Why'd that get rolled out again? It's got nothing to do if he's a last man or not.
What, the foul?
The commentator kept saying, is he last man? Is Clint Hill getting it? It's nothing to do with that. He's about to pull the trigger.
It's
denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
It
it's a red. Gary O'Neill said it was a red.
He didn't complain.
He said after the game in the interview, I knew what I was doing. I didn't want to risk him scoring, so I did it. I took one for the team. And I hope the fans don't hold it against me, is what he said.
No,
I won't hold it against
what
you now.
Gamble.
Paid off, Jim.
Yeah, it certainly paid off.
My goodness.
I thought it was a good game. I thought, I know it didn't really turn out in terms of the result, but we did actually, a couple of us called it reasonably well beforehand. We said, I think Derby will take it to them. I think they could batter them. And they did batter them, which didn't score.
Well, Redknapp
Rob Green, my God, what an absolute centurion.
Yeah, I know.
Redknapp said they were looking to get to extra time or penalties, which...
It's understandable in that situation.
Totally.
Well, one thing that he did do, Redknapp, but he deserves credit for, is he kept 2 strikers on.
Mm.
He took off Clint Hill, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that enabled them, essentially. I mean, I know it was a bad error by Richie Keogh, who was beside himself, by the way. It was actually difficult to watch.
Yeah, that was such a shame, that was. Mm. It's interesting when you... when someone keeps two strikers on when they go down to 10 men. I think, I want to say Trinidad and Tobago did that against Sweden.
That is a niche
wow.
shout.
In 2000 and,
yeah. Oh, I'm on the Blizzard next week. Pathetic.
It was in a previous World Cup. And
no one's going to question that, are they?
No.
No one here is going to question that. I believe you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was 02 or 06.
Shut up. Not important.
Yeah. It is to me. It is to me. It was 06. And what that does is that you're saying, well, no, we're not inviting you on us. Yeah. And that team, they just have to have a little thought of, okay, now it's obviously easier said than done, because often the best thing to do when you go down to 10 men is 4-4-1. But it is interesting when you put that extra man in. It just gives them something else to think about.
Especially in a playoff final like that where nerves are so sort of frayed.
But you've always got an outlet, though. Even if it is a long diagonal.
Well, it does depend on... And you say the best thing is 4-4-1. It depends on the midfielders you've got at your disposal. Because he obviously brought Carl Henry on. And he had him and Barton, who are seasoned, Premier League operators. So he would have thought, well, okay. George Storm was excellent, by the way. He's such a good player. He had a really good game. But he obviously just thought that Barton and Henry could deal with that. And so that's why he kept Zamora and Austin on. And it worked. I mean, the thing is, though, it's such fine margins.
Yes.
I mean, we sit here now and 1-0 and say it's worked, but Derby could have scored a couple of goals.
Absolutely.
And it's the whole...
And we could have said, why didn't they go for
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the whole Allardyce thing of, oh, yeah, I out-tactic Jose Mourinho. Because they didn't get beat by him. Mm. But Chelsea had, like, at that time, had 35 shots, just didn't score any. Yeah. The margins are so fine. And that completely dictates the narrative. And of course, Redknapp and QPR deserve credit for being promoted. I would say it's at least it's expected of them, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean, they should have been promoted. And I think QPR fans would agree with that.
Did you hear what Redknapp he said the quote, didn't he? QPR have their debts of 177 million, something like that. They're expected to feel the wrath of breaching the financial fair play rules, of course. And Redknapp was asked about this, and he actually went, oh, I'm sure it's important. Yes, it is, Harry. but you'd have to ask the chairman and the chief executive.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, to be fair to Redknapp,
straight back in. Yeah, like he's never been away.
Here we are.
Joe Barton said that, like, Derby deserved to win it, and Joe Barton was excellent.
Did you see that one QPR fan had his playoff final tickets ripped apart by his dog?
Yeah, I saw this, and I saw that he still got into the game.
He did.
Unacceptable.
Lessons
need to be learned. You can't just go around making mistakes like that, letting the dog eat it, and then have no punishment.
Jim, are you going to stick up for the dog?
I am, of course I am.
It's not the dog's fault.
But if the dog's involved, then it's brilliant, so it should have a positive outcome.
That's the dog should get to go.
Simple.
The dog should get
absolutely.
To go. Yeah,
can hang out with Harry Redknapp's dog.
Yeah, yeah. but you know what I'm saying though? I don't understand. I don't like this culture of no punishment or blame for things. If you leave your tickets out, you know what your dog's
what we
like.
Need, isn't it? More blame.
UKIP got voted in. That's all I'm saying.
No, his line was the dog got to the post before him.
Not a responsible dog owner.
Is this man a Beano character? Does that really happen in the world?
I don't know. I don't know, Jim. But Charlie Austin, I think, sorted him out with the help of the club, obviously. Mm. So that was there. That was that one. Tony Fernandez, QPR co-owner, he responded to questions about Redknapp's future, saying the manager is already talking about new players next season.
I'm sure he is.
Apparently he said...
He can't help himself.
Yeah. He went 5 minutes after the final whistle, he's already talking about signing new players.
Yeah,
I was like, Gordon Bennett.
Yeah, I bet he is, yeah.
It probably is Gordon
Even
Bennett,
if he is fired from QPR, he'll still try and sign those players.
Whereas Redknapp himself said, I haven't even thought about a player for next year. Honestly, everything depended on yesterday. Really? Because Fernandez said straight after the...
Maybe he's got some sort of new signing Tourette's, where he just doesn't know he's doing it. He can't help it.
Yeah, that must be it.
But well done. The players he's been linked with today. I mean, to be fair, you know...
Rio Ferdinand?
This might be nonsense. It's Rio Ferdinand, Joe Cole and Frank Lampard.
Hey.
Lovely old job.
Yeah. Get Jamie out of retirement. Get him in bins. Yeah.
Get Jamie back in, you know?
Yeah. And then what he'll do when he signs those players, and after the first 3 months of the season when they're struggling a bit, he'll definitely say, well, none of them are giving me a minute's trouble. None of them are giving me a moment's trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So predictable.
So predictable. But they're up. Redknapp's back in the Premier
League. I'm pleased for QPR fans.
Of course.
There's some likable players in there. Clint Hill, Nedim Manua seems a good guy. Crancar's a good player. Seems a likable chap. I'm pleased for the fans.
It's a
proper club. Charlie Austin, yeah.
Rob Green.
I've been wanting to see Charlie Austin playing the Premier League for a long time, so I'm looking forward to that.
And I mean, McLaren said Derby were way ahead of schedule. And obviously, it's a sickener. It's a small consolation, if any at all. But hopefully, they'll be back.
But it's like Uwe Rosler said.
They could win the championship next year if they can keep that team together.
Yeah. Uwe Rosler said that the good thing they've got on their side is that Derby have got a young squad, a young bunch of players, and they can if he can tap into that and use it as experience, then they'll be a lot stronger, and they will. Because that's where you learn from, isn't it? Those sort of failures.
Indeed. The League One playoff final happened, and Leighton Orient, they're not up. It was Rotherham, it was big Evans men.
Russell Slade hates a playoff final.
Oh my goodness.
Is that his third?
They were 2-0 up as well. Blistering start.
Yeah. Do you think in a playoff final where, you know, it's kind of similar with what happened with Hull, I guess, in the FA Cup final. Do you think, like, scoring two goals like that and it looking like it's all going to come right, do you think the burst of adrenaline you must get from that must later have such a damaging effect on your performance and your fitness that maybe it just, you know, it allows the other team back in?
I was talking about this in the context of the Champions League final. I was watching it with some friends, and you see, a lot of the things. So when Real Madrid scored the equaliser, I mean, everyone would say the well-trodden cliche is, well, Real Madrid are going to go on to win this.
Yeah.
And it always happens, and it's almost subconscious. Like, Atletico got into that way of playing where they were just limiting Real Madrid and trying to do a spoiling job, and it's very hard to get about that mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe when you're 2-0 up and you're knocking the ball around, it's what we talked about before, that it goes 2-1 and then 2-all. And you think, God, this will be a disaster. And you can't help it. You can't stop it. And, of course, the penalty shootout is a slightly different thing.
Well, they talk about
because they were very close to winning the penalty shootout. I mean, Rotherham missed one first.
And let's
remember
that with a penalty shootout, it's not a lottery.
Yeah. No, it's not.
But people say 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline for a reason. I mean, it's obviously not as dangerous as being 1-0 down. But if you're 1-0 up, you keep going. And you're still very much of right. It's a slender lead. Keep doing what we're doing or whatever it is. If it's 2-0, you think, well, do we go for a third? Because we've got a nice lead.
Do we
lead.
Contain this?
Yeah, exactly. How do
we blunt ourselves?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a tricky one. And when you're 2-0 up and someone makes it 2-1, you know, the impetus is very much...
I'll tell you, as an absolute specialist as a manager in going ahead and then completely shitting themselves in the second half. Big Sven.
I knew you could say that.
Big Sven. Sven and Eriksson would never even consider the idea of like, this is working, let's do it some more. No, we've got to change it. Yeah. We're winning against Brazil. Fuck knows how that happened. Yeah. Change it up.
This is all wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Sven-Göran Eriksson is the only manager on record to win that England
quarterfinals.
When England went up
three quarterfinals.
Agreed.
We'd take that this time.
But when England went up 1-0 against Brazil, he actually went over to the Brazil bench and went, is this a trap? To which they said, yes, it is.
Very much a trap. What about Ravel's goals, Jim? The second one in particular. Yeah. One of the goals of the season.
Yeah, it's incredible. Especially, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. Like the to have that technique at that moment. Again, it's the adrenaline and the impetus being with them, having very recently scored the other goal.
Yeah. I mean, 5 minutes but part.
Yeah,
of the
against his old club, celebrated massively.
Yeah.
It was such a special goal.
He would have to be a serious introvert
to really
not celebrate, equalise it, get in a brace within 5 minutes at Wembley in the playoff final to make it 2-2, a dipping volley from 35 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah. I think Ben Pringle played well again. He's a good player.
Yeah, you like Pringle, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if he can cut the mustard in the Championship. Be interested to see what the step-up's like. But yeah, Rotherham, you know, they obviously they went very close to going out in the penalty shootout. Oh, missed the first pen.
The equaliser, you see Steve Evans... running down his trousers nearly fell down.
My God.
It was amazing.
My God.
Absolutely
Steve
amazing.
Evans is a Championship manager now.
He's the guy similar to we're talking wanking in an office toilet here. Again.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to harp back to that sort of cultural low point of the show, but I mean, it does suit him as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
You
horrifying.
Just see him and you think, con man.
Yeah. Long con man as well, you know. Marry someone like that long.
Yeah, yeah. Is he new to the area? He's a con man.
Oh, the League Two playoff final. Fleetwood are up.
Very boring final.
Yeah.
I mean, Fleetwood essentially stunk the playoffs out. They were boring against York. And they were boring against Burton. Like, they were the better side in the final.
Big John Parkin came on.
He did, yeah. They were the better team in the final.
Do you think for novelty value they deserve to go up then?
Well, they have gone up, whether I think they deserve to or not.
I'm not sure if Parkin's going to apply his trade in League One next season, is he?
I hope so.
Well, I hope so. I just don't think it'll
be sure he does.
Yeah. I just don't think it will happen.
Big John Parkin.
Did you say Pig John Parkin? By accident.
No, I said big. Big.
Either fits.
Biggity. The Scottish Premiership playoff. Scenes!
Terry Butcher.
Unbelievable. Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
Terry Butcher must have woken up this morning and going... What have I done?
Terry butchered Hibs, more like.
Yeah.
Good. Hibs, they beat Hamilton Academical 2-0 away in the first leg. Well, it's a given, isn't it? But 2-0's a dangerous scoreline, Jim. And the Hamilton Accies, they went 1-0 up, so 2-1 on aggregate. And then injury time, right at the end of the game, they pulled it back to 2-2 on aggregate, so 2-0 on the day. And the Hibs fans, you could see their reaction after that one. They were like, oh, my God, this should be over. This should be done and dusted. Hibs shouldn't be there.
No. Yeah.
And then it went to penalties, and the Accies won 4-3.
Do you reckon he just thought Scottish Championship is where it's at next season? Well, I want to see a bit of that action.
Yeah.
He could have done.
I'd love him to come out and say that in the media. Yeah. Do you think the fans would forgive him?
Yeah. Hearts, they're going to play Hearts and Rangers next season.
I mean, it's...
It's weird, isn't it?
Hearts, Hibs and Rangers are all in the Scottish Championship next season.
I mean, Neil Lennon's just left Celtic. I don't think Celtic should get a manager in. I don't think they should bother it. Yeah. Just even
what,
things
every
up.
Week a fan just gets...
Yeah.
Yeah. My goodness, though. Jason Scotland got Hamilton's first on the day, appropriately named.
Nice to see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's one of his former clubs in Trinidad and Tobago. It's called Defence Force.
That's very good. Lovely. I can remember when Jason Scott used to bang him in. Was he playing at Swansea when they're coming up through the leagues?
He might have been.
Yeah.
Was he at Wigan in the Premier League as well? I think.
Yeah, he didn't do very well, did he?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Think he's a Premier League player. I think we can all agree on that.
So a remarkable round of playoff finals there for you, ladies and gentlemen.
I love the system they have in Scotland, by the way.
It's
really interesting to see that implemented here.
Do you know what, though?
They have it in Germany as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it the strangest thing? That relegation playoff, because at Wembley, you know, QPR and Derby and all the other teams involved in those matches, one goes up and it's obviously very rejuvenated, and the other one's gutted that they didn't get to go up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They remain where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not worse off in a sense.
Yeah.
QPR Norwich this year would have been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But Hibs are in their own stadium, and one team's jumping around because they've got promoted, and they've been relegated.
Yeah.
It's not like, we'll do you next time.
They have taken your place.
Yeah, that
they
team celebrated.
Pillaged you.
Imagine if they had to leave the stadium, that to vacate the stadium. You get the stadium as well. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, that would be good.
Stakes are high.
You are no longer
like the football equivalent of in the film Grease, where they race for the ownership of the car. I love the idea of that.
Or
brilliant.
Or when Malcolm Tucker gets his BlackBerry taken off.
Yeah.
This is a Premier League stadium. So one of you out.
It's no longer immediately available to you. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. That was something to look into.
Well, though. So the bright side of Hibs is they still get to play at Easter Road.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're getting Edinburgh Derby.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
They're better off.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy here.
Well, only two teams obviously can go up.
Is Celtic going to win every game next season?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Surely the Celts will come down.
Just to make it interesting.
Yeah, Rangers, Hearts. Wouldn't that be amazing, though? Rangers, Hearts, Hibs and Celtic. Well,
it would be like a reversal of the leagues. Yeah. They might as well just call that the Premiership and then call the other one the Championship.
Oh, you see? Mm. Oh, bloody hell. Before we talk a little bit of international soccer ball, we've got some odds and sods to tie up. Matthew Upson signed for Leicester City.
Yeah, I saw that trending on Twitter.
Luke, what do you think of that?
When I saw Upson trending on Twitter, I thought that he had done the decent thing and retired after that penalty. But actually, to be fair to Upson, he's player of the year for Brighton.
Yeah. We're back in the Premier League.
You can't blame him for wanting to go up there.
It's experience that's available to them. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's maybe not that crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's another season. I think Brighton lost their manager and their captain last season, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
And now they've not got promoted in the playoffs again, lost their captain and their manager again.
Mm.
They might just give up.
Yeah, but Jim Campbell's moved to Brighton now.
He has, actually.
I've got no affiliation with a football club, though, mate.
Are you interested in the club captain
role?
I'm
going to be of no use to them.
New club captain.
Football advisory.
I think I just embarrass myself.
You could have an advisory role.
I could have an advisory role. I think well-wisher is about as close as I'm getting to that club.
Jim, would you be...
Or any club.
Would you be immediately offended if I said that you're not club captain material?
No, I wouldn't.
That's fair.
I'd be self-aware and accept that.
I'd love Jim to be an advisory. What do you think? Yeah. Have a go, see if it works out. We'll know by the end of the season, won't we?
Try and score.
Another centre-back is on the move. It's David Luiz. By the looks of it, he's gone to PSG for a reported £50 million.
Good to see him still respecting the financial fair play.
Yes.
That's what I like to say.
Yeah. Baffling, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for David Luiz, isn't it?
It is, Jim. Like, that's the thing that struck me about.
I think he's a good player.
He is.
A good player.
Nobody's doubting that.
Yeah,
nobody's doubting that. That's half of that fee, fair enough.
5 million off Zidane. I know that, you know, that obviously the market has inflated hugely, but that shows you the rate at which it has inflated.
My goodness. Claude Makélélé has been appointed head coach of Bastia in Ligue 1.
Yes.
I like that.
Whenever I hear about Claude Makélélé these days, I always remember when he
was... Does it warm your cockles?
Yeah.
I did say cockles.
Great player. I obviously enjoyed watching him play over the years, but I'm always reminded of when Florentino Perez sold him at Real Madrid, saying that he's rubbish. And they bought Beckham, didn't they? And Zidane came out and said...
You do realise...
Yeah, even though, you see, he used a really good analogy. I think it was something like, yes, you may have just added another layer of gold paint to the Bentley, but you've just sold the engine.
Yeah. Nice, I like that.
Perez went on a rate, like a crazy assault on him, and said something like, oh, he never passes the ball forward, he can't do anything.
When has he scored? When has he scored?
The owner, he's like the president of one of the biggest clubs in world football, but he's talking like a pub boy. Yeah, exactly. When Richard Keys the other day said, oh, Diego Simeone's greatest contribution to football is getting Beckham sent off. Yeah, that sort of pub boy level of intellect.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Well, and Perez said that about Makélélé. It was like, what are you talking about?
Can I be the first to say that I think Claude Makélélé is a really underrated manager?
Yeah, you can.
Nice, Jim. Yeah. Very, very nice. Craig Bellamy has retired at the age of 34. Old Bella said his body can't take it anymore. He said he's been on anti-inflammatories every day for 3 or 4 years. Jeez,
that is some commitment to playing, isn't it?
Bloody normal.
Good on him.
Yeah, no.
I mean, fair play to him for retiring and saving his, you know, later comfort in life.
Yeah.
What a warrior.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. Okay, they got relegated, but it was nice that he played in the Premier League with Cardiff.
He's a big part of their promotion as well.
169 career goals.
Decent, yeah.
Bellamy. Well done there. Shola Ameobi's left Newcastle after 14 years.
On the Bellamy thing, we don't have to talk about Shola because Pete's not here. But on the Bellamy thing, is he the only player to score for 7 Premier League teams?
Is that
him?
It could be.
I mean, it's
a fair shout. I think he's had 10 clubs in his career.
Right, okay.
And majority of them in the Premier League, of course. Schroeder's gone. He's made the most sub appearances in the Premier League.
He's made a contribution.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't bowed out the way he would have liked.
Newcastle's third top scorer of all time, I think.
That blows my mind. I don't even know if that's true.
No, surely not of all time.
No, Shearer and, who would it be? Andy Cole?
Jackie Milburn's got to be up there, hasn't he?
Oh, maybe the Premier League.
Maybe it's Premier League.
Every single person listening to this now has stopped whatever they're doing. They're checking on the internet because that cannot be true.
He's up there. He is up there. Have a look. Because Les Ferdinand was only there for, what, 2 seasons?
Yeah, true.
So he's not going to get 79 goals in 2 seasons.
Wow.
And Espria, you know, wasn't there longer. It's had great players.
Stop showing everyone how little you know about Newcastle United.
Yeah.
They probably had loads of really good players back in the day.
No, we're talking about Premier League, you fool.
Oh, fair enough. If it's Premier League, it's probably completely believable.
No, because that's what I'm saying. You say, well, surely not because they've had Espria. But they were only around for a year or two.
Yeah, it was a very transient
that's what I'm saying.
Atmosphere, yeah,
that's
sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I wonder how many of those goals deflected in off of him.
70.
Don't be mean to him.
Yeah, that is harsh,
Jim. I can't help it.
He didn't bow out at Anfield the way he wanted to bow out in the last game of the season. He got sent off in a strangely really fitting manner, in a hapless manner. And it's only fair that
don't ever go at him.
Yeah.
I thought it was very unfair.
He is, I've just looked it up, according to the internet.
Yeah, that never lies.
Top Premier League goal scorers for Newcastle United, Alan Shearer with 148.
Yes.
Peter Beardsley with 47.
Beardsley, that's right.
Shola Ameobi joint with Andrew Cole on 43.
There you go.
Can you tell the listeners who number six is?
Pete Donaldson.
No. Nobby Solano.
Ah! Yeah, there you go.
That also seems strange. I suppose Solano was there for ages. You know, your theory may be correct, Marcus.
It's not a theory, it's fact, Jim.
Do you want to know who the 20th top scorer for Newcastle is in the Premier League? With 12 goals?
Robbie Elliott.
Rule Fox.
Ah, oh, nice. Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is great.
I don't know why reading Newcastle's list of Premier League top scorers is such a trip down memory lane. It's beautifully nostalgic. I don't think you could pick a better club to have that.
Who's the last one on the list?
Have you still closed it.
Oh, you closed it.
Fair enough. I thought the show was pretty average up until that point. I'm pleased I did that. Yeah.
Excellent. Neil Lennon, as Jim earlier said, has resigned as Celtic manager. He doesn't have anything lined up. He's that confident. Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill said he won't stand in Roy Keane's way if he's offered the job or any other job.
Is he just really hoping Keane would leave of his own accord?
I just like another way of saying, like, when your girlfriend says to you, I don't mind if you sleep with other girls, you know. She basically says, get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in anymore. He can't stand and work with Keane
by
anymore.
The way, Luke, that is not normal.
Isn't it?
Well, I liked the rest of what Martin O'Neill said. He won't stand in Roy Keane's way if he's offered the job. Or any other job for that matter. I'm assuming that's managerial.
Maybe you want to go full time as a pundit, Roy.
Did you see the
story?
Keep
you out of my hair. and dreams.
So yeah, someone made me aware of a story that Roy Keane gave a newspaper a while ago. I think it was maybe a year or two ago now. Where I'm not sure if you guys read it. Where he, I think I sent it to you, Marcus, at least. Where he was going to watch Wigan games.
Yes.
And so basically, it was when he was out of work, he didn't want to go to Old Trafford.
I think that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, he didn't want to be noticed or anything. So, but he still wanted to go and watch football, wanted to keep in touch with it and stuff. And he wasn't working. So he was going to Wigan. And he was basically just turned up on the turnstile, because obviously you can always get a ticket at Wigan. Mm. He went to the Wigan game against, I don't know, some other...
He was saying like he had his hat low, his scarf up high.
Yeah, yeah. So no one knew who he was, right? And he went to watch a game against another average Premier League team.
Like I can't
remember who it was. He lost 20 quid. And then he tried to go to the Arsenal game. And they said, oh, we need to take your details. It's a Category A game. And he was saying, like, basically, cut a long story short, he had a massive row with the turnstile person, so I just want to come in and watch. And they had to call security and get rid of him.
That must have taken about nine guys.
And I ended up reading the story thinking, you started off here talking about how inconspicuous you were by having your hat down and your scarf up. You basically just caused a row on the turnstile.
Well, he was saying, I didn't need to give my details the previous week. And they were like, well, it's a different category of game. And he was like, I'll buy a season ticket now. I don't care.
Angry about modern football.
Yeah, he's going, you're such and such £1 million in debt and you won't take my money.
I agree with him.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
On his side.
Yeah.
But it was just so typical Keane. I just like to know, does he do anything at any point in his life that doesn't end up in some sort of massive row?
Do you reckon if it was Keegan, he'd have just gone, okay, well, I'll just go and listen to it in the radio in my car.
Yeah, and he would have sat
by the ground.
And then someone would have driven into his car and the airbag would have gone off on his face.
Yeah, of course that would have happened.
Yeah, in a car park, not a lay-by.
Yeah.
That would come later.
Change it up. Yeah.
On a more depressing drive home.
He doesn't go in lay-bys anymore.
No. Gets flashbacks.
Sorry, Pete.
I'm not that sorry.
No, you never are. No. Whatever you've done. Let's talk a bit about the England squad, shall we? Mm. Shall we just?
We've sort of been putting it off.
We have been putting it off. We'll be talking about World Cup things in the live show next week, which hopefully will be...
It will be released as well. Yeah,
of course.
It will be a bit later, but it will be.
A little bit later. And we will be doing podcasts throughout the World Cup, of course, ladies and gentlemen, of course. But the England squad, you've all seen it. And I suppose the big one was Ashley Cole not getting in. Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think that would happen. I thought that he would have been unhappy with going with two... so experienced at international level left backs. I know that Baines has got a few caps here and there and stuff and has been there for the qualifying, but I thought that he'd like a bit of extra experience in there. Mm. And I also think for a manager, and we'll probably talk about this a bit more in a minute, that it's easier for them to leave out young players because they can say, oh, he's not quite ready yet. It's a bit soon for him. He could have easily done that with Barkley and Shaw, and he hasn't done that, which is why it's brave and why I'm more pleased with it than I thought I would be, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I thought Hodgson can't win, can he? Unless he speaks... With more of a Cockney accent and is a little bit more laddie, he's not really going to win with a lot of sections in the media because
what he should do actually is get Terry Venables to play him in press conferences and media appearances.
He writes the press conferences. Terry Venables performs them.
He's in his ear, telling him what to say.
You wouldn't better
and
trust
Venables just says it. All.
But you wouldn't better trust Eltel to keep his end of the bargain. That's the problem. Now we're going Christmas tree. That's not what I wrote. We're doing it now.
They'll accuse you of lying now, Roy. You shouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah, make my dream come true.
Yeah.
We look forward to all these World Cup adverts coming up soon, won't we? Hodgson, people say, oh, he's just boring, he plays just 4-4-2.
Well, he doesn't.
No, he's pulled England away from that.
Yeah.
And then it's all, well, he won't pick the youngsters. Well, he has picked the youngsters.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't have picked the youngsters. He should go for experience. Yeah. It's like the man cannot win.
No.
If we play...
Can any England manager win?
That's true.
No. I don't really know if I've been that au fait with this because I've not really followed the press in that way. I thought that people were generally quite happy with what he's doing, aren't they?
Yeah, so there was some criticisms.
Well, you're always going to get that. I mean, people just like to moan. People like to sell newspapers. People like to moan.
If we won the World Cup, which we won't, don't worry, I'm not that stupid. But if we did, somebody would say, well, you know, it wasn't exactly pass and move, wasn't
scintillating
it?
Football, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Brazil, weren't we?
But are Brazil even Brazil these days, Jim? Mm.
Yes, they are.
Well, okay, by yeah, definition.
I'm pleased you two cleared that up.
We can clear up a lot more if you're that confused. I thought it was a good move taking Lampard and not taking Carrick or putting me on the standby list, because I think it was either or, wasn't it?
Mm.
And
I don't think we're going to be seeing Gerrard and Lampard in the middle from the beginning. Well, I think that's the only reason people would be worried about that.
Jim, that would be crazy. imagine that. Yeah, he drags us back.
Yeah,
to the glory days,
times of Svenogans.
Indeed.
Well, I think it's an interesting midfield selection, chiefly because he's clearly going to play 4-3-3, isn't he? And I don't think he can play 4-3-3-1 with that, can he? Unless he chooses, because he'll obviously have Gerrard in there. So is he going to have Wilshere or Henderson alongside him?
When you say 4-3-3, do you think Rooney will be at the tip of the midfield three then? Or do you think Rooney will be on the left?
Well, I think
of the attacking three.
I think he'll be up front with Sturridge moved out, pushed out wider.
Oh, you think Sturridge will be on the left?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it will be the 4-2-3-1, and I think it will be Sturridge as the one up top and Rooney as the one behind him. And then you've got your two wide boys, Lallana and Sterling, say, and then Gerrard and Henderson in there.
Right, but is he not going to play? I would have thought for the first game, and I've got no insight into this, it's just what I would have thought off the top of my head. He's going to play Milner in a 4-3-3.
I don't think Milner's a bad shout at all.
No, absolutely not. You need a player like Milner.
Just to go back to your original point, I think if he'd had a better season, Carrick would have been in there.
Yeah.
But he's had an average season in a pretty poor United side. So,
what do you think of the standby list? Ruddy, Flanagan, Stones, Carrick, Cleverley, Carroll and Defy. I mean, it's a bit of a gamble, isn't it, with say, Stones? I mean, not that England are blessed with centre-backs.
Well, the problem is, I sort of fell into the trap of moaning a little bit about Jones and Smalling being there, and a lot of people on Twitter sort of said to me, well, okay, give us an alternative then. Mm. And it's actually quite difficult
to. It is, yeah.
And I know that I didn't think Smalling was that good when I saw him play for Fulham. We used to go watch Fulham quite a bit. Mm. And then he signed for United for massive amounts of money. And I just felt a bit stupid. But I don't think he's really fulfilled. I think Jones and Smalling are sort of mid-table Premier League players that have just got a different shirt on. And because they've got a different shirt on, they're getting the nod. I think
Jones is better than that. Yeah, Jones has played well.
But he's not fit. And two, I mean, I take the point, and a lot of people seem to think that, so fair enough. I'll defer to other people's superior knowledge on that. No problem with that. But my point with Jones would be, if he was that good, he'd be playing every week at centre-back for United. They've not had a good season. It's not like Rio Ferdinand and Nemanja Vidic have been consistent, ever-present, and just a cut above, and so Jones can't force his way into the team. There's been gaps there. There's been opportunities for a centre-back to come in and do a job there, and he's not done that.
True, but I think the manager will look at some of the players that he has picked before, the players that he knows, and the dearth of talent.
Well, Hodgson obviously loves Smalling, doesn't he? He signed him at Fulham, and he's picked him pretty consistently.
Yeah, but I think also that there is that nod, you talked about young players, to the future, and I think, who do you play in there? I mean, we've mooted Curtis Davis. But if he's the only one, we're saying...
I think with Curtis Davis, the two things count against him. Well, there's three things, actually. One, he's at an unfashionable club, and that does count.
Yeah.
Two, he's had a slightly shonky last couple of months.
Mm.
And three, he normally plays in a three at the back. Which is a different, and that's just what he's used to playing, and that could count against him as well.
You're saying Roy should have changed the whole thing, three at the back with Curtis Davis in there.
I'm not saying he shouldn't do that.
Something we can all agree there.
Yeah, yeah.
And draw a line under it.
Yeah.
So go 3-3-4. Not a really backward team.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
I didn't know, I thought maybe.
It's too late though, Jim. Davis isn't in the squad.
A lot of people have, I mean, another thing is the Glenn Johnson thing is quite interesting, because Hodgson clearly rates him, thinks he's good enough, which is fine. A lot of people think he's good going forward, not so good at the back. He's got a few things going for him. I mean, he's a good attacking player. He's got a decent left foot actually for a right back, and so he can play on the left or he can cut in nicely. But I don't know if Hodgson was struggling there, why he didn't sort of introduce Nathaniel Clyne a bit earlier.
Yeah, you mentioned Clyne.
Well, I think Clyne's a good player. I think it's probably... Listen, I was being a bit facetious when I mentioned him for the squad for the World Cup, because I think it's come too late for him now. Even though there's a couple of friendlies, it's too late. But he could have introduced him earlier.
Possibly, yeah. I thought to me it was always going to be Johnson. Carl Walker was the only other one. Yeah, Johnson's played for the manager before. You can't underestimate that as well.
Yeah.
The fact is Johnson actually had an all right Euros 2 years ago. I know it was 2 years ago, but it was still under Hodgson. Yeah. Hodgson has seen that man play tournament football.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, he's playing for a very good Liverpool side.
Yeah.
He's not one of the best players in that Liverpool team, but still he's surrounded by good players.
Who are also from that Liverpool team.
There
which,
you go.
You know, will surely help.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it could be Sterling... a bit in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, that could be one of the options there. So it didn't surprise me.
So it does actually fit for him to play a 4-2-3-1 then with Rooney behind Sturridge and then Sterling and Lallana.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I think he'll go.
I don't know if Lallana will start. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you could have Milner on the left.
It's actually quite an exciting squad.
I think it is. There's a lot of options.
Well, the people are talking about starting Barkley. I think that would be.
No, I don't think that would.
I think that would be a little bit silly. But
you asked about the standby list, by the way. So
yes.
And when you look at the standby list, that's when you start to realise that England haven't got that many players.
There you go.
I mean, there's no way Cleverley should be near there.
Carroll aside, who's in there that could make their stamp on that tournament?
You're looking at the younger players purely because they're, you know, an unknown quantity at the international level.
Yeah.
Which does not bode well for it. But it is a standby list, so it's very harsh of us to criticise it.
There you go.
Doesn't it make you think that Jermaine Defoe has had a bit of a shocker there?
I think Defoe, yeah, but if he'd have stayed at Spurs, he wouldn't have played much.
No.
I
think he'd be in exactly the same position if he'd stayed at Spurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I reckon he'd made the squad, no?
No, I think he'd still be in the standby
list. I think with Sherwood coming in, though, he could have played a lot more.
Yeah, but who could have predicted
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, yeah, that's right. That's right. I think Defoe will be gutted, but I mean, he's put in a few performances for England over the years, and he's played at tournaments before. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a couple of tournaments at least. Yeah, of course, it's a shame for him, but I think the strikers, you know, Rooney and Sturridge are obviously
that's
in there.
Exciting. If they can properly click.
Well, Rooney seems to be more dedicated now. He's well aware of what people have said about him in previous tournaments.
Which is it's his last chance.
0-4 aside. He hasn't quite done it, and there's been injury and whatnot in there.
I don't think he's ever scored a World Cup goal, has he? In the tournament?
I don't think he has.
No. It's his last chance to do something. He's got to do it.
Neither's Messi, though.
Is that not true?
I don't think Messi has.
That's an amazing stat.
He didn't score in 2010 and didn't play in 06, I don't think.
Okay.
Unless he scored against Serbia. But
a bit younger, though.
If he has scored, forgive me.
Rooney's got nowhere else to hide now. He's got to do the business. I think he's had a good two-thirds of a season at least at Man United, in a poor United side. He's had a decent season, I would say. He's got to do the business now. I think it's funny because when I think of Rooney's best season for United recently, it's when he's played right up front when he scored about 35 goals and Valencia was popping balls in his head all the time.
Yep.
But then obviously that doesn't play into Sturridge's hands, so really he's going to play behind. He's either going to play in the middle of a 4-3-3 or behind Sturridge in a 4-2-3-1. And he's got no excuses. He's got to do the business. And he's got to do a job on Pirlo in it against Italy as well.
Yeah.
When they play Italy, he's got to do a job on Pirlo. He has to do his defensive duty properly.
So you've got a few things to think about there. And this is where Hodgson has to earn his money. Because if he looks at that, because actually Danny Welbeck could do a good job on Pirlo.
Mm.
Danny Welbeck's that type of player who will be very disciplined. And Welbeck said in the press recently he wants to play front centre. But for England, he actually feels he's unleashed a bit more than he is for Manchester United. Because he's often on the left of a four.
Yeah.
Manchester, he didn't enjoy
and
playing
you've got
for
to be more defensive. Yeah.
Whereas for England, he's often on the left in a front three. Mm. And he quite enjoys that. And actually,
well, he's freed
up,
yeah.
I think Welbeck's quite an exciting player for England. People criticise his finishing capabilities, which is understandable. But for England, every times he's come on before, he's actually looked quite likely. And against Ukraine, when we drew, it was a vital point that we managed to snatch at the end. He came on, and he took a few shots, and it suddenly it sparked us into life a bit. And he scored that great goal against Sweden when we saw it in the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he's got a little bit about him. He's not your classic match winner, and he's not a particularly the world beater, but he will play his part, I would imagine. But where going back to the original point, where Hodgson's got to earn his money is if he feels actually, do you know what? It would be quite good to have Welbeck come in on the left and then and midfield three. Or basically, the point is if he thinks Rooney should be dropped, he should drop Rooney for a particular game or take him off. He cannot pander to the media here.
Hmm.
He can't think, oh, but it's Rooney, you've got to keep him on, even though if we took him off and had a midfield three and someone else was marking him and blah, 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 blah. He's got to do that didn't do that in the Euros.
It does free him up. Rooney's the one player that puts out a lot of other players. I mean, if you don't play Rooney, it does free up the rest of the players.
Well, if you took Rooney out of the equation, you could comfortably have a midfield three. Hmm. You could have, say, Gerrard, Wilshere and Henderson for three. Henderson... Hmm. Actually, he's got a lot of legs. He could mark someone like Pirlo. I know that's a little bit further forward, but the times he played further forward for Liverpool this season, he did a bloody good job.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can have your two wide men not having to worry so much about defending. They can be freed up. Sterling, Lallana, who take your pick, and you've got Sturridge. So there could be an argument that perhaps the shape and the balance of the side is better off without Rooney in there. But if Rooney's on form, he is possibly England's best player.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? So much of it is down to the form of Rooney, rather than the tactics that you put around him, I suppose. Which Rooney are you going to get? As Luke says, he's got to step up if we're to have any chance of, I suppose, enjoying England's World Cup.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
It's best, in my experience, and I'm sure you guys agree, it's best to just try and enjoy the World Cup for what it
absolutely
is, rather than have any sort of England lens on it.
Of course.
But I think, you know, have a second team and a third team at the ready, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'll say there. Marvellous. But better news coming from England in the international football front is that the under 17 European Championships, England won it. Bloody
yes.
On penalties.
Yeah.
It can be done.
It's good news, but I always.
We're going to win it in Qatar.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
That's our time.
No one else will be in Qatar. It's one of these things I always try and greet with a bit of hesitation and sort of. I don't want to sort of rain on their parade or anything, but the thing is, this happens reasonably regularly that England do well at that level.
Yeah. And, well, the 2010 they won it.
It's basically because of the physicality. Basically because England, even now, English players will develop quicker and they'll have a lot more emphasis put on their physical development. And then what happens is, 3 or 4 years after that, when those technically good players from other players and teams in Europe start to fill out and naturally become bigger, they just get blown away.
And they've got the technique.
They catch up, because they've already got the technique.
But it's still good. They beat the Netherlands 4-1 on penalties after a 1-1 draw.
It at least bodes well that the future will be exactly the same as the present.
Netherlands are really bad at penalties, aren't they? They're
you
worse than England.
Forget that anyone else is bad at penalties.
I think Netherlands are worse than England. They're the only team around that are.
Do you think?
We never get drawn against the Netherlands in a knockout. If we did, we beat them, I reckon, on pens.
Let's hope for that.
In many ways, England should play the Netherlands in a knockout World Cup game and go to penalty shootout to see who genuinely is the worst penalty shootout.
You could be there for days.
it would never end.
Go to sudden death and just no one scores.
Marvellous. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. That is our take on the England squad thus far. Mm. Oh, but we'll be back. We'll be back for more. Don't worry about that. And so will England.
I don't think they're worried.
Something that they won't be worried about now is that there's no Pete's game, of course.
No,
yeah. But there is.
You would have thought Pete's game could have carried on because he has no input in it. He just carried on as normal.
Be funny, but one of us would have had to know all the clues.
No. It would have just been a knock at the door. Sorry, who are you? Oh, Pete ordered me to
do the game. Yeah.
But he'll start doing that when he's in the room. Though,
yeah, exactly.
But we've got some correspondence, Luke.
We have, as is the custom at this point of the evening. This week's question was a election-themed one.
Yeah.
See what I've done there? Mm. If you could choose someone from the world of football to be your local MP, who would you choose and why?
Yeah.
Mike Wood comes on Twitter saying, a money-grabbing, shiftless, untrustworthy suit? Surely Sven. Would you respond to that, Marcus?
Well, he's very trustworthy. Just ask his women.
Ask them all collectively. I like this one. Steve Potter says, Harry Redknapp, the Queen deals with all of that.
That's excellent. That's great.
Niall McCurdy says, Pele, he knows his stuff when it comes to elections. No, actually, sorry, that's erections I'm thinking of.
Really good. We can't count that one.
Matt Bast.
Instead of voting yes, you'd vote would for Pele.
I would. Matt Bass disagrees with Steve Potter on the Harry Redknapp shout, says, imagine his expenses.
that's right.
Which enough. I think is a fair point.
Very fair.
What else have we got here? Mike Wood again. Mike Wood is coming on Twitter and Facebook, and I've not noticed.
Storming it.
Okay, I'll give him this one as well then for his industry. He says, Craigie Brune is the wise old head this country needs. # same planning, sensible tomorrow.
Yep. I'm assuming Archie Knox is in there.
Yeah,
helping
Archie.
Him out.
Archie be your Home Secretary.
Yeah.
Deal with all that nonsense.
I'd be the your spin doctor.
Yeah, he would. Oh, yeah, he would. He'd be your Malcolm Tucker. Yeah. And Dan Smith says, Joe Kinnear, he can pick up the phone and speak to any world leader he wants. And to cap it off, Rory Fallow says, Roger Johnson, drinking.
Always the same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't choose Iron Robin.
No.
Because he's always on the far right, isn't he?
Oh, he is, yeah. Good point.
See what I did there, Jim?
No mention of Tiggy Rainbow this week. Disappointing.
Well, here it is. So.
Yeah. I thought about giving...
sort of created a Tiggy Rainbow vacuum.
I remember the Tiggy Rainbow story, and I may have mentioned it to you, Luke, on the way home last... we don't live in the same place. And we were out in Salou. For any British students who have made the trip to Salou, you know what I'm talking about. It's in Spain. And if you haven't been, then you're a better man than me. And we were playing in this tournament in Tiggy Rainbow.
It was a football tour, wasn't it?
Football tour, yeah. And he was running down a wing with a ball.
See, he was a good player. He was all right.
He played at Wembley.
Yeah, he did.
So have you, though, Luke.
Correct.
But his was a bit more competitive.
When Tiggy played at Wembley, he did say afterwards that he was really pissed off with the grass was doing too long. I'm not making it up.
Yeah, but, big time.
Yeah, but he's a very ungrateful sort of man, though, yeah. Isn't he? And the fullback was obviously tracking him, and he feigned to cross the ball, and Cruyff turned the defender, and the defender just did a Sol Campbell slide tackle and just went flying, yeah. And it was brilliant. He turned around to the crowd and like put his hand up in the air, and then he went to cross the ball, and his standing leg gave way, and he just went flying, and the ball went out for a goal kick. Absolute class.
Lovely stuff, Tiggs.
Yes.
Yeah. What I was thinking was next time when Pete's back, we should get Tiggy's number, give him a call,
yeah.
Get him through the desk and speak to him.
That could be disastrous.
I think the listeners will like it.
I don't.
You don't? Okay.
Yeah, really. One thing this show needs more of, it's private jokes, so I'm in.
Jim, MP?
Yeah.
Who would I go for? From the world of football.
Luke, anybody?
I would be interested in Gascoigne. Pick Paul Gascoigne.
Interesting. Yeah.
You got to be happy with that, haven't you? You brighten it up. I think, to be honest, I'm being serious here. Gascoigne needs something in his life. It'd be a good project for him. He could be like sports minister or something.
It would definitely work.
It would be disastrous.
It would. It really, really
Jim?
Would.
Jim?
So, I don't know, someone like George Graham. Someone just safe.
Yeah, safer hands.
Safe
good.
And great.
That's not a good idea.
Nice. Well, there we go. I think that finishes the show there, doesn't it? If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com, of course. Mm.
Yeah, for those of you who've got tickets for the Ramble Live show for next week, we're also doing an after-show thing at a bar called Lift 574 in Dalston. I'll put it on Twitter and Facebook as well, but I just want to put it out there to make sure you know, so you can make plans if you don't want to go home too early. Mm. Alternatively, you might think that'll be terrible and might want to avoid it, in which case, and you know what bar not to walk past.
Yeah, I mean, none of us are going. Exactly. We're just sort of herding you into one place.
Pete will be there.
Because of next week's live show, the show, we'll put it out as normal, but it'll be later
probably
in the week.
Later.
As and when we can get the audio and to put it out. And then the week after that, there won't be a show, will there? And then we're back for the World Cup.
Yeah, the World Cup shows will start about the 10th of June, something like that.
Okay, just before.
And then we'll go throughout the tourney.
Cool. All right.
Excellent.
I've got a little pluggle as well.
Go on then.
It's just a show on Friday, doing my new Edinburgh show, same standard thing as usual, at the Harrison in King's Cross. Starts 7:30. Come down. It'll be a lark. And then come to the live show, even if you don't have tickets. Make it look like there's an amazing demand for it.
I've been told about that. It's health and safety, Jim. But you can all take care of the health and safety stuff. Don't worry about that.
Do
what you want now.
Yeah, that's true. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, darlings.
There was a kid on my train earlier, what must have been about 3 or 4, who said to his mum, my dog can tell me how many people like pizza.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.